Welcome back to Science TLDR, where we break down all the latest and greatest in scientific research for busy professionals, just like you.
Yeah, we like to cut through all that jargon and deliver those key insights, the stuff you actually need.
Exactly. So today, we're diving into a paper that was published in Nature, and it's called Autonomous Mobile Robots for Exploratory Synthetic Chemistry.
Catchy, right?
Yeah, well, the title might sound a little bit intimidating, but I think you'll find the research itself is actually quite fascinating.
Yeah, they've basically, created these robots that can, make decisions about what to do next in a chemical synthesis.
Almost like a human chemist would.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a big, step forward from the traditional, automated systems that we see in labs. This isn't just robots following, pre-programmed instructions.
Right.
This is about robots, analyzing data, interpreting results, and then making choices based on those interpretations.
So can we unpack this a bit? For those of us who might not be, familiar with all the nuances, what exactly is it that differentiates a truly autonomous system from just, a simple automated one?
Okay, so think of it this way. An automated system is like a chef who is, meticulously following a recipe, right?
Right.
They execute each step in a predetermined order, no deviation. An autonomous system, on the other hand, is like a chef that's experimenting with all these new flavors and ingredients.
How interesting.
They can adapt their approach based on, how each step turns out, and they're making decisions on the fly.
So in this case, the robots aren't just mixing chemicals and heating things up. They're actually looking at the results of their actions.
Yeah.
And then deciding what to do next based on those results.
Exactly. And what's even more impressive is that they've achieved this level of autonomy using commercially available robots and standard lab equipment.
Oh, wow.
A ChemSpeed synthesizer, a UPL CMS, even a benchtop NMR. Yeah, so they've basically shown that it's possible to integrate, all this existing technology into a truly autonomous workflow.
So you don't need to build some bespoke robotic system.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a really crucial point because it suggests that this technology could be more easily adopted by labs all over the world.
Right.
It's not just limited to, the labs that have, tons of resources to develop custom robotics.
Exactly. It really democratizes access to autonomous chemistry, which is, that's a major step forward.
Huge. Now, okay, let's talk about the brains of the operation here.
Okay.
The decision-making algorithm.
Yep.
The paper refers to it as a heuristic decision maker.
Right.
Can you break that down for us? What does that mean?
Sure. So essentially, a heuristic decision maker, it relies on a set of rules or guidelines to analyze data and make choices.
Okay.
It's not some mysterious, black box AI. It's more transparent, where, the rules are explicitly defined, often based on the knowledge and experience of human experts.
So it's kind of giving the robot a set of if-then statements based on, chemical principles.
Yeah.
If the NMR spectrum shows the presence of X peak, then proceed with reaction A.
That's a great analogy. And, in one of the experiments that they described in the paper, the robots were tasked with synthesizing a series of potential drug-like molecules.
Okay.
And the decision maker was programmed to analyze the data from the NMR and the UPL CMS and then look for specific signs of a successful reaction.
Okay.
And if those criteria were met, then the robot would decide to scale up that reaction, for further modification.
So it's essentially the robot is replicating a key aspect of the drug discovery process.
Yeah.
Deciding which reactions are worth pursuing further based on that initial data.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
And what's remarkable is that in this particular experiment, the system ran for almost 4 days with minimal human intervention.
What?
Making decisions, executing tasks, all autonomously.
That's incredible. Mm. But that also kind of raises the question, how reliable are these robot chemists, really?
Right.
Did they always make the right decision, compared to what a human chemist would have done?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And the researchers, they address that head on.
Okay.
They compared the decisions made by the robot to what a human chemist would have done based on that same data.
Uh-huh.
And the results were surprisingly consistent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The robot's decisions aligned almost perfectly with human judgment in the vast majority of cases.
So it seems like these robot chemists are, they're quite capable of replicating human decision making.
Yeah.
at least, you know, within those specific parameters that they've been programmed for.
Right.
But what happens when things like go outside of those parameters,
yeah.
when like unexpected results come up?
That's where things get really interesting. And that's what we're going to delve into in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll explore some specific examples from the paper where the robots encountered, you know, some unexpected outcomes and how they handled those situations.
Right. I'm definitely eager to hear about those unexpected twists and turns.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, so we've established that these robot chemists, they can make decisions. But how do they actually handle, like, the complexities of exploratory chemistry, you know?
Right.
Like, it's one thing to, you know, optimize a known reaction, but it's another thing entirely to navigate this vast uncharted territory of chemical space where, like, you know, unexpected outcomes aren't just possible. They're almost inevitable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's where, like, the real power of this research lies.
Okay.
Like, the researchers, they design their system to handle not just, like, you know, the routine stuff, but the unexpected stuff, too. They wanted the robots to be able to explore new chemical pathways, make new discoveries, and even, you know, surprise us with results that we hadn't even, like, anticipated.
Wow. So how did they achieve that? How do you, like, program a robot to, you know, expect the unexpected?
Well, it all comes down to how the heuristic decision maker is designed.
Okay.
So, you know, instead of programming the robot to look for a specific outcome, they gave it a set of guidelines, kind of like a framework for recognizing, you know, potentially interesting or significant results.
Okay.
Even if those results weren't, like, part of the original plan.
Can you give us, like, a concrete example of how that worked in practice?
Absolutely. One of, I think, the most striking examples from the paper involves an experiment where the robot was tasked with, you know, synthesizing a series of these potential drug-like molecules.
Right. So the robot was, you know, programmed to analyze the data, you know, from the NMR and the UPLCMS, and then, you know, look for those signs of a successful reaction. And if those criteria were met, then it would, you know, scale up the reaction for further modification.
Exactly.
Okay. So far, so good.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing something unexpected happened.
Indeed.
Okay, tell me.
So in one instance, the robot, it initiated reaction that led to an unexpected cyclization product.
Okay.
So, like, a new ring structure formed in the molecule.
Oh, wow.
Which was something that was not part of the original plan. It wasn't even, like, you know, considered a possibility by the human researchers.
So the robot essentially, like, stumbled upon a new chemical pathway, one that, you know, might have been missed entirely through traditional methods.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
It highlights the fact that, you know, even with sophisticated algorithms and all this, like, vast chemical knowledge, there's still room for serendipity in science.
Right.
And in this case, the robot's ability to, you know, rapidly screen and analyze a large number of reactions, it actually facilitated that, you know, that serendipitous discovery.
That's really cool. It's a fascinating example of, like, how human and robot chemists can actually, like, complement each other.
Right.
You know, leveraging their respective strengths to, you know, really accelerate discovery.
Exactly. Now, let's move on to another experiment that they describe in the paper, one that delves into the realm of supramolecular chemistry.
Okay.
A field known for its, like, complexity and often unpredictable outcomes.
Right. Supramolecular chemistry, it deals with, like, the formation of these large, intricate structures through, like, weak interactions between molecules.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, molecular Lego.
Yeah.
Where the building blocks can, like, assemble in so many different ways.
A very apt analogy. And, you know, this inherent complexity makes it, you know, particularly challenging area for, like, automation, let alone, you know, autonomous experimentation.
Right.
But the researchers, they were undeterred.
Good for them.
Yeah. They wanted to see if their robot chemists could handle the intricacies of supramolecular self-assembly.
So how did they approach this challenge?
Well, they designed an experiment where the robot was essentially given, like, a box of molecular Legos.
Okay.
Right? A combinatorial library of building blocks.
Okay.
And they basically set it loose to see what structures would emerge. The key here was that, like, they didn't program the robot to look for specific, you know, predetermined outcomes.
Right.
They gave it a set of guidelines,
mm-hmm.
a framework for recognizing potentially, you know, novel and significant assemblies.
So it was more about guiding the robot's exploration than dictating the specific results.
Exactly. And, you know, to do this, they incorporated both NMR and MS data into the decision-making process.
Okay.
But instead of, you know, looking for the disappearance of starting materials like they did in the previous experiment, they programmed the robot to recognize, like, specific patterns in the NMR spectra.
Okay.
That suggested the formation of, like, symmetric, well-defined structures.
So they were essentially teaching the robot to, like, recognize the hallmarks of,
right,
you know, successful supermolecular self-assembly.
Precisely. And to, like, minimize false positives, they also required the robot to find, like, corresponding mass peaks in the MS data.
Okay.
That matched, like, plausible stoichiometries for these assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a, you know, a clever way to leverage expert knowledge and guide the robot's exploration, but without, you know, stifling its ability to make, like, novel discoveries.
And did it work? Did the robot, like, managed to find any interesting supermolecular structures?
It did.
Really?
In fact, over 3 days, the robot successfully identified two distinct, like, supermolecular architectures. A metal organic cage and a metal organic helicate.
Wow.
And then it, like, you know, autonomously replicated these reactions multiple times, you know, to confirm, like, reproducibility.
Uh-huh.
And it even performed, like, guest binding studies to assess, you know, the functionality of the cage structure.
Hold on. Guest binding studies.
Yeah.
Are we saying the robot, like, actually tested whether these molecular cages could, like, trap other molecules inside?
Yes, that's exactly what it did.
That's incredible.
So it, like, you know, autonomously introduced a series of, you know, guest molecules into the cage solutions,
mm-hmm,
and then analyzed the NMR data to determine, you know, whether binding had occurred.
Wow.
And get this, it even correctly identified which guests were successfully encapsulated within the cage.
Oh, wow.
You know, showcasing its ability to, you know, not just synthesize, but also characterize and evaluate the properties of these complex supermolecular structures.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
It seems like these robots are capable of far more than just, like, you know, mixing chemicals and following instructions.
Yeah.
They're starting to exhibit a level of, like, sophistication and adaptability that's, like, truly remarkable.
It really is. And, you know, it raises some interesting questions about, like, you know, the future of chemistry research.
Yeah.
How will this technology impact, you know, how we design experiments, analyze data, and even, like, think about scientific discovery?
Those are important questions to consider.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will delve deeper into those implications in the final part of our deep dive.
Right.
But before we do that, I want to, like, touch on one more example from the paper.
Okay.
One that really highlights the, like, the modularity of the system.
You're referring to the experiment where they incorporated a standalone photoreactor into the workflow?
Exactly. They show that their platform wasn't limited to, you know, the capabilities of the TimSpeed synthesizer.
Uh-huh.
They could easily integrate other modules depending on, you know, the specific needs of the experiment.
Exactly. And that's a crucial aspect of this research.
Right?
It demonstrates, you know, the flexibility, the adaptability of this approach, opening up, you know, a world of possibilities for future development.
Yeah.
Imagine integrating, like, other analytical techniques like, you know, circular dichroism or fluorescent spectroscopy to, you know, gain even deeper insights into the, you know, the structures and properties of the molecules being synthesized.
It's like, you know, building a custom, you know, AI-powered chemistry lab.
Yeah.
Tailored to, you know, your specific research interest.
Exactly. And as, you know, this technology, you know, matures, we can expect, you know, even more sophisticated decision-making algorithms.
Yeah.
You know, potentially incorporating machine learning and data mining to, you know, guide the robot's exploration of chemical space.
It's both exciting and a little bit daunting to think about the possibilities.
Yeah.
But before we, you know, get carried away, let's take a step back and consider the key takeaways from this research.
Okay.
What are the most important things our listeners should, you know, remember?
That's a great question. And I think there are three major takeaways that, like, stand out.
Okay. So let's dive into those key takeaways.
Yeah.
What are, like, the major implications of this research?
Yeah. So first, I think modularity is, like, key. This research shows that autonomous chemistry doesn't have to be limited to, you know, these expensive custom-built robots. You know, by using these, like, mobile robots and some clever integration, researchers can actually connect existing lab equipment into, you know, intelligent workflows.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And this means that even, like, smaller labs, you know, with more limited resources could potentially, you know, build their own robot chemist.
Yeah.
Which is like a huge step towards making this technology more accessible, you know?
Democratizing access to this technology is a really crucial point.
Like, yeah.
It really levels the playing field and allows more researchers to benefit from, you know, the power of automation and autonomy. Okay, so what's the second takeaway?
Yeah, so another big takeaway is like the potential of heuristic decision making, you know?
Okay.
Rule-based algorithms like the one used in the study, they provide a transparent and interpretable alternative to like black box AI approaches.
Right.
So by encoding expert knowledge into these rules, you know, researchers can guide autonomous experimentation in these like really complex situations, allowing robots to make, you know, these nuanced judgments about, you know, chemical plausibility, novelty, and, you know, potential applications.
So it's about striking a balance between human expertise and like robotic efficiency, right?
Right.
You're essentially giving the robot like a chemical compass to navigate this like vast landscape of chemical possibilities.
Yeah. Like,
but it's not just about, you know, blind rule following.
Right.
There's also room for like, you know, flexibility and serendipity, as we saw in like those examples that we discussed.
Exactly. The researchers actually built in mechanisms for the robots to like flag unexpected but potentially interesting outcomes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just about replicating human thought processes. It's about augmenting them and allowing for, you know, new discoveries to emerge.
And what's the final takeaway? What does this research tell us about like the future of chemistry itself?
Well, this work, I think, points towards a future where robots can handle, you know, not just the repetitive tasks, but also like really complex decision making in exploratory chemistry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about robots that can design experiments, analyze data, interpret results, and even like come up with new hypotheses.
Wow.
All with minimal human intervention.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. And this has like profound implications for, you know, the pace of scientific discovery and, you know, the role of human scientists.
It's both exhilarating and a little bit daunting, you know, to think about the possibilities. On the one hand, you can imagine these robots tirelessly exploring chemical space, you know, uncovering new reactions, synthesizing novel compounds, you know, potentially even solving some of the world's most pressing challenges.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities are endless.
But on the other hand, it does raise questions about, you know, the future of human ingenuity and like the very nature of scientific discovery.
It does. And these are like really important questions to consider, you know, as this technology keeps evolving.
Right. We need to think critically about, you know, the ethical implications, the potential societal impacts, and, you know, the role of human oversight in this new era of autonomous science.
So for our listeners out there, you know, I'll leave you with this thought. If robots can learn to think like chemists, what does that mean for the future of chemistry itself? Will it be a collaboration, a competition, or something entirely new? You know, what role will you play in shaping this future? I really encourage you to like reflect on these questions and discuss them with your colleagues.
Absolutely. You know, it's a conversation we all need to be having. And as always, you know, we encourage you to stay informed, stay curious, and, you know, stay engaged with all the latest developments in science.
Thanks for joining us on Science TLDR. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.